Before we get started, I'm going to have Len pray for me this morning.
Lord, thank you so much for this godly man whom we love, and you love even more than we do. And we thank you that he loves us. And Lord, we pray that your face will smile on him this morning as he preaches your word. Thank you that your word is alive and working in him. And Lord, let us have it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us have it. That was awesome. So good. Hey, how many of you guys have ever been lost before? Ever been lost? All right. Awesome. Wow, I love honesty. That's so good. That's so good this morning. Hey, Sarah, this is so on point. Today, we're in this series on faith for life out of Hebrews chapter 11, and we're talking about Abraham, and really the big picture this morning is, how do we trust God for the big things? How do we trust him for the big things, the scary things, the things that don't make a whole lot of sense? And I grew up in an era and a time when we didn't have GPS. We had these things called maps. And I have all, yes, some of you guys understand. The kids are like, what's a map? It's on your phone, right? No. Before that, there was these things called maps. And you would like unfolded them and you read them while you drove. It was so crazy. Now, this is before you texting driving. It was like reading and driving. I have all these images of my dad. We're all loaded up in the van, and there's my dad driving, and the map is spread out over the steering wheel, and he's doing this kind of a number. And that's when I learned how to sleep in cars. It's truth. But oftentimes, the map didn't give you the tiny little details, so you'd be driving along on one road, and all of a sudden, you're on another road, and the map didn't tell you that you were going to shift over to that other road, and we would be an hour out of the way, and my mom would be like, Dan, pull over, ask somebody for help. No, we'll find our way. We will find our way. And we'd finally, like an hour or so into this tirade off to the right, we'd stop, we'd ask somebody, oh, no, whoa, you need to go way over there. And my mom was like. To this day, I ask for directions all the time. Even when I have a phone, I ask for directions. I'm in a grocery store. I could be in the soap aisle, and I will ask, where's the soap? Because I don't want to be that guy. I don't want to be that guy. And then all of a sudden, these things called GPS came along, right? Some of you don't even know what that is anymore because we do everything by our phone. One of my favorite stories, my wife was taking a group of ladies to this conference down in Philly, and she's following the GPS, and it would say, you've arrived at your destination. She was going to a hotel, and there's an alley with, like, junk in it. And she was like, this is not what I saw on the website. And then you would turn and you would hear this thing called recalculating, depending on the voice you put into the thing. So what happens, what do we do when the directions we're given don't make any sense? What do we do when we're steered down a path that leads us to a dead end, that leads us in our minds to a place we don't want to be? What do we do then? Let's read the Word of God this morning. Open up your Bibles, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, the Pew Bible's in front of you. It's page 1169. And once you get there, go down to verse 8. We're going to start looking at Abraham's story. Now, there's no way in the world you can cover a man such as Abraham in one sermon, right? So we're just going to take two little snapshots of Abraham's life, apply to ours, and go out rejoicing, okay? Let's do it. So Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8, it says, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place where he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he didn't know where he was going. I just want that to linger in the air for a minute. God said go, he went, even though he didn't know where he was going. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. for he was looking forward to a city with foundations whose architect and builder were gods. Now here's the backstory. Abraham's father lived in a region that would be modern-day Iraq, down near the Persian Gulf. And he wanted to spread his wings, so he went all the way up to northern Syria to a place known as Haran. And they lived there for a while. So all that Abraham knows is this place called Haran. For 75 years, he's hanging out there. And then his God says, "Hey, Abraham, I want you to take everything that belongs to you, and I want you to go to Canaan. Take it all and go." We don't get to see the dialogue between him and the God of the universe. But my dialogue between me and the God of the universe, if I had lived in a place for 75 years, was established, probably would have went something like this. What's it going to look like? How am I going to provide for my family? Where are you sending me? La, 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 la. Let a brother know what's going on. That is not in the scripture at all. God says go, and Abraham goes. God says go, and Abraham goes. And this is, he gets there, and you can go back and read this kind of stuff later, right? There's a Bible reading plan going to. No, Genesis chapter 12 to about 21 is where we're going to kind of look at this morning, but you can't, don't read it now. I'll give you the Pastor Jeff cliff notes on what happened. And then this afternoon when you're sitting, drinking your afternoon cup of coffee or taking your nap by osmosis, read Genesis 12 to 21. And here's what happens. He goes down there, he examines the land, it looks great, and then all of a sudden, in verse 10 of chapter 12, it says, "Now there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there for a while because the famine was so severe." God says go, he went, he examines this land that God has given to him, and then a famine comes. Recalculating. God says go, he goes by obedience, he gets there, and it's famine time. And any human being is going to be sitting there going, "Really, God? Really?" When we were growing up, we didn't have a whole lot of money, so our vacations looked very different than a lot of people's. And so most of the time, we would camp. And if you've never been a camper, it's all right. In one sense, you're not missing a whole lot. In another sense, you're missing everything. And I just remember this one time. So there's no internet, people. You don't get to Google something. Oh, wow, that looks really great. My dad heard through a friend of a friend through a friend that there was this camp place down in Texas. We were living in Oklahoma at the time. Go down to Texas. You'll have a great time. It's gorgeous. It's beautiful. So we drive like 7 hours to this campsite, and we get there, and it was plush. I was like pinching my head. I was like, how do we have the money to afford this? This is awesome. We're living in this tent right on this lake. It was gorgeous. I mean, gorgeous. The sunset on the lake, and it was like, what? This is phenomenal. There was cliffs, and as kids, we walked over there and jumped off and didn't tell my parents, and it was great. It was phenomenal. But maybe, just maybe, the water moccasin right outside our tent was a sign that there was problems in paradise. So it's okay, because my older brother was fearless, so he picks up the cottonmouth by the tail and swings it around his head and chucks it out of the lake. We're all good. We're all good now. We're all good. Day two, everyone in our entire family got ticks. Ticks! I had 3, my brothers had 4, my dad had 16. So, the next year when my dad says, "Let's go on vacation," "No, I'm good, I'm all right. I'm good, backyard's good, we're good." What happens when the people above you, your overseers, whatever, tell you go, it's going to be good, and you get there, and it's not? How do you handle it then? How do we handle situations when the God of the universe asks us to go and it doesn't pan out the way we want it to? Well, for Abraham's case, he goes down to Egypt and he becomes a liar. Read it later, you'll learn. Let's pick the story back up. In verse 11, chapter 12, it says, "By faith, Abraham, even though he was past age, and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made this promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore." We said he was 75 years old when he left his homeland. At 86 years old, he had now heard several times from the God of the universe, "You are going to be the heir of this amazing empire." And by 86, he was going, "I don't really think so." And so his wife said, "Here, take this woman to be your wife and have a kid with her because I need descendants." And so he listened. 13 years later, God says, "By this time next year, you're going to have a kid." And his wife's response was, "Holy laughter," first time ever in Scripture. And a year later, at 100 years old, Abraham becomes the father of this crazy, awesome generation that would usher in the Savior of the world. Occasionally along these journeys of faith with the God of the universe, he steps in and he intercedes in these big picture things. And when he does, it's miraculous and it's powerful and it's amazing. I was listening to the story the other day. This guy was talking about his wife who had got cancer, quickly moved to stage 4. It was throughout her entire body. Her entire body was just covered with cancer. And they said, "Hey, listen, go have fun. Do something fun because pretty soon it's going to be over." And as they contemplated this whole concept of death and what was going to happen for them as a family, the wife said, "I want to go visit my dad, who's a preacher. I want to go visit him." So they show up at church, they get there late, and the service is going, and she just feels prompted, and she walks right down the center aisle, stops everything, and says, "I need my father's church to pray for me." And they stopped everything, and they stood in the middle of the room, and they prayed over this woman, and there was something inside of her that said she was healed. So she went back to the doctors, and she said, "I want you to do another scan." And they said, "Lady, it's over. Like, these are really good machines. It's over. Please, just do one more scan." They do one more scan. She's waiting in the lobby, the waiting room, for them to come out. The doctor comes running down the hospital screaming, "It's a miracle! It's a miracle!" Busts through the door and says, I don't understand this. I don't know how to make any sense of this whatsoever, but there is no cancer anywhere in your body. None. So please tell me about your God." He left everything, accepted God as a Savior, and now he's a medical doctor in Africa. Awesome. Phenomenal. But what happens when the prayers don't get answered? Let's keep going with the rest of the story. In verse 13, it says, "All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised them. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance. And they admitted that they were aliens and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking about the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to call them their God, for he has prepared a city for them." It took over 700 years from the time Abraham was first told go to this land that I'm going to give you. It took over 700 years for his generations to establish themselves and to establish their kingdom. 700 years. I don't know if you're doing the math, but Abraham was no longer around. He was no longer around. God had called him to something, had not given him even half the answers that he was looking for, and said, trust me. Trust me. Our friend Rob Reamer, who likes to come and speak with us, has this phrase. It says, your next great encounter with God is outside of your current circumstance. Your next great encounter with God is outside of your current circumstance. If you want to know what faith is, you look at the life of Abraham, who was not given all the answers. He never got all the answers. And God said, trust me, I know what I'm doing. And you're not going to see the outcome. Over 700 years. We're less than 250 years into this great land called America. Can you imagine a generation waiting 450 more to see the outcome of what God had said was going to happen? The worship team's going to come back up. And I'm not going to give you a closing illustration this morning. I don't want to give you a flowery story of everything's going to be all bells and whistles. Everything's going to be great. It's going to be phenomenal. I want to leave us with this one question. When God asks us to answer the call of the big questions, how are we going to respond? If God said to you this morning, I want you to do X, Y, and Z, and you may never see the outcome of it, what is your response going to be? God has a plan. You just don't get to see it. Right now, there is some decision on your mind, your brain, you're dealing with, you're grappling with. Maybe it's small, maybe it's a large. Are you willing to trust God who answers prayer, even though he might not answer it now, even though he might not answer it in your entire lifetime? Are you willing to trust God that much? We're going to sing one more song. I'm going to have prayer people up here. Maybe you just need to come up and get some prayer with them so they can assist you on this prayer journey of trusting in a God bigger than we can comprehend. But let me pray. Lord Jesus, Lord, I ask that you would enlarge our understanding of trust. I ask that you would enlarge our understanding of faith this morning. I ask that you would bring us to a place this morning where we can trust you for the things small and large, especially the things that we cannot see. I pray this in your Son's name. Amen. Would you stand?